Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Urban Edge Networks has one aim in mind: bring more new channels to viewers from African American entrepreneurs. Already on HBCU League Pass. Coming soon, the Grambling Channel with plenty right behind. Chief Executive Todd Brown joins me next. Also ahead, Warner Bros. Discovery's opening day, commit or quit, our classic trivia question, and a masterful Masters Sunday. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio, and present on Spotify, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Apple Podcasts, Verbal Reason, and Amazon Music. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to all the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 56 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And on this Monday afternoon, we welcome you to the latest edition of the program about TV's current and future. Great guests coming away over the next hour. We invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up that phone. Dial in with this, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker to the Radio. And if you're shy about the phone, use our chat room as CMAX is doing right now. The chat room is SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So use the phone or the room. Either way, you'll interact with us. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune-in screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. Todd Brown of Urban Edge Networks joins us live from that city limit city, Austin, Texas, after these news notes. We're more than halfway through opening day of Warner Brothers Discovery. So far, the only public news is how the company's stock price is going, $24 a share at this hour. Privately, WBD Chief Executive David Zaslav is meeting with company employees at Hudson Yards here in New York. They'll huddle tonight with CNN senior executives and anchor people in Washington, D.C., and then a company-wide town hall with Zaslav presiding is set for later this week in Los Angeles. Former divorce court and power of attorney Judge Lynn Toler is set for her next TV gig, Hannah Relationships on the Brink of Marriage or Breakups. On Commit or Quit, launching May 12th on WeTV, Toler will rule on the fate of one couple per episode using a mix of surveillance cameras placed at their home and testimony from family members. Now quickies, season 3 of For All Mankind begins June 10th on Apple TV+. Peacock will present Based on a True Story, a comedy thriller series co-executive produced by Ozark co-star and Emmy winner Jason Bateman. David Simon's newest HBO miniseries, We Own This City, debuts April 25th. The subject, Baltimore's Gun Trace Task Force scandal 5 years ago. Tonight's CMT Music Awards on CBS and Paramount Plus has an unusual twist. Co-host Kelly Ballerini, that's Kelsey Ballerini, will co-host from home thanks to testing positive a few days ago for coronavirus. Disney Plus has found its Petey Jackson series star, Walker Scobell, from hit Netflix original film The Adam Project. Production kicks off this summer. And wrapping on a Netflix note, the service will forward with Glamorous, a series originally on the CW's development roster in 2019. Premise, gay male works for an iconic makeup mogul. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Austin, Texas, the co-founder and chief executive of Urban Edge Networks, Todd Brown. Todd, welcome to our program.
Glad to be here, Simon. Thank you for having us on.
You're very, very welcome, Todd. Last week, you were at an advertising showcase in New York, and you said that your organization is representing 15, I'm not kidding, 15 media brands. How many of those brands want to get into television with a service of some kind? And what does that say about African-American entrepreneurs who see an opening to get into television because of the growth of smart TV sets, smart devices, and multi-channel bundles?
Well, Simon, I'm glad you asked, and I'm pleased that you were in the audience. We had an opportunity to talk at the second annual Upfront conversation, and we've been having several of those. We plan to have one this week with Adweek as well. So the idea of why this is important is we're very interested in building a collective curation of African-American brands authentically to an audience that we believe is underserved. And so our premise started around my family's premise, which came out of HBCUs. My family has been attending HBCUs from the 50s up through the 80s. I personally did not attend an HBCU, but as most Black Americans, there was no choice on whether to be educated. And I think until the game happened in 1968 in New York City between Grambling and Morgan State, folks didn't understand how profitable the business of HBCU student activities could be, much like the Negro League Baseball reality, of which Jackie Robinson then was able to show Branch Rickey that there's an opportunity in the black space for monetizing black bodies, as long as the quote-unquote material part of that monetization is taking place in non-black hands, it seems to be a big business model. So me and my partner decided to take a hard focus at this notion of advertising and supported related connections with the brands that exist in the HBCU reality across 101 communities, because I've never seen an HBCU in a white community, and bringing them into the media space. And it's interesting, Simon, that I'm in Austin, Texas today, because the University of Texas had a great television deal on linear television cable with ESPN, where they committed $300 million over a 10-year time frame to aggregate and engage the University of Texas athletic-based audience, much like the YES TV network, SNY, and some of the regional sports networks. We know about the tribalism within certain sects around student activities. And so we look at the student activities where those rights are available across the HBCU plethora as an interesting conversation. But moreover, we're inviting HBCUs into the media business, not as a product, but as a media center, because we believe that the HBCUs are indeed themselves media centers. And it's not just the quote-unquote competition on the field. It's the entire engagement around the experience with HBCUs. And you've seen us do some creative things. Why? We try to teach the HBCUs how to take their brands on the walk. You've seen the Grambling car at NASCAR. You see us form a relationship with the Negro League Baseball Museum, where they own the available rights for the Negro League baseball teams that, quote-unquote, are in the mainstream. And I think there's about 15 of those as well. But people don't know there was close to 100 Negro League baseball teams, and they don't know that 40% of those athletes came from HBCU legacies and, frankly, played in a lot of HBCU stadiums because there was no other opportunity to do so. So in short, we went about a mission of bringing this media platform over the top and developing an opportunity for this content to be seen where rights are available, and also to look back at where these great institutions come from and tell some of those hidden stories. And I just would say in my opening statement that we believe that there's an opportunity, thanks to a commission that we formed with Byron Allen, Roland Martin, and a few other brands, and started challenging the advertising complex to say, if you're going to spend north of $300 billion a year on advertising, that black-owned media companies, meaning companies that are 51% black-owned or more, have an opportunity to participate. And we should be participating at the level of our engagement in the United States, which is north of 13%. If you think about that, that's close to $40 billion worth of opportunity that black-owned media companies are not participating in. And we think that HBCUs hold a very special place in the hearts and minds of America. And we believe that if we invite them to the table as media owners themselves, like Grambling University, like Stillman, like a number of other universities are leaning into, there's going to be an opportunity for them to participate at a level that University of Texas and other major universities are participating at. So that's who we are, and that's what we're doing. I think I'd say lastly, Simon, that we also are representing a number of other black-owned media companies in their ability to convert their content to commerce. And there's a lot to go with that around dealing with agencies, being able to run spots and dots, and then moreover, to respond with the reporting necessary to deliver value back into the ecosystem around this multi-generational audience that we represent. So that's who we are, and that's what we're doing, sir.
Before I get to the next question, I just want to let our listeners know that in terms of purchasing power, according to the conference that took place called Equity Upfront, last week here in New York by Magna, which is part of IPG Media Advance, one of the largest ad agencies in the world, they estimate that the purchasing power of African Americans right now, annual basis, $1.6 trillion. For Latinos, $2.6 trillion. For Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders, $1.2 trillion. For the gay and lesbian community, $1 trillion. How is HBCU League Pass doing? And how is it separated, by the way, from HBCU Go, which is the venture that Byron Allen recently acquired, which, by the way, Curtis Simon is the head of that venture, former ESPN BT exec, was on our show earlier this year to talk about.
Well, I'm excited that we cannot be defined as a monolith, and no one is concerned about how many channels are super serving other ethnic audiences. And so I'm so happy to see Curtis in the space. I'm happier to see Byron putting some equity into the space, meaning real capital, and delivering to these audiences. So I believe that the notion of a number of channels isn't lost on the fact that Fox carries sports, ABC carries sports, obviously through their ESPN and their linear channel. There's a number of other sports properties, as you see, is core to what Mr. Zasloff is going to be doing with Discovery. So we believe that live sports and live events are important, and we believe that the sports rights for those and the engagement, and I use this term very adroitly, student activities. We believe that student activities include sports, but not as limited to it. And the experiences that HBCUs engage in is not limited, frankly, to the campus. It really surrounds the whole community, and then it travels throughout those people who are passionate about HBCUs. So we believe that there's a lot of room in this space. We believe there's a lot of opportunity in this space. And when you speak to $1.6 trillion, you don't speak to the fact that African Americans own cool. And that cool impact is probably closer to $5 trillion in spend, because we influence everything in this global economy. And so with that said, we are at the very epicenter of cool. When you think about those students from 18 to 25 that are attending HBCUs and their families, which is why you saw Gramlin lean in, you saw Stillman lean in and say, wow, I really want to capture those experiences and deliver them across. The other thing that I will share with you that's interesting, most HBCUs, because of segregation, are across the street from some pretty major universities. Florida A&M is across the street from Florida State, but the economic divide, it's material. Grambling is across the street from Louisiana Tech. Southern is across the street from LSU University. And so the economic impact of any one of those institutions being on a platform and delivering value to the communities that love them and that are passionate about them is really bountiful. And I believe that advertisers are starting to figure out there's no way to really reach this audience without engaging them, and that we believe this audience shouldn't be paying a premium tax on a pay tier within a cable ecosystem, and they only see a small package of the opportunities. So we believe that OTT is a great democratizer, and that it allows for democratization of the space and access on 303 devices, Android, iOS, Apple TV, Fire Stick, all Roku and all related streaming platforms where you can access these experiences now and deliver them. And so we're pretty excited about that. And we think there's a lot of room, and we think there's a lot of people that are going to figure this out. And we like our advantage of getting at the bedrock with a new model that says we don't want to exploit HBCUs. We want to invite them into the media business. We want to educate them about how the economics work. And we want them to participate and flourish the way the University of Texas has flourished historically with their student activities, both when they sold those rights and when they decided to market, create, and engage audiences in a powerful way for people that love their brand. And we think that's a real opportunity.
Urban Edge Networks is the folks behind HBCU League Pass, which is available all over the place, all over the country on smart TV sets and smart devices. And we've got the chief executive of the venture with us today, Todd Brown, joining us live from Austin, Texas this half hour on Tomorrow Be Television. In a moment, we're going to talk about the Grambling Channel, which is the current project that is in the works and may be coming on sooner than you think. It would be, if it goes on, the first historically black college university to own and operate their own channel, and the second college university of any kind to do the same, BYU TV being the first. We'll get to that in a moment. And if you have a question or comment for Todd along the way, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon after 04 by name. Coming up later in the hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week. Three prizes in play if you know the answer. Also, I have a comment about a very magical Masters tournament that took place yesterday on CBS with not one, not two, but three very special storylines, all of them marvelous and magical. Todd, the Grambling Channel, do they want to be like BYU TV where they start from sports and then they go to things like original scripted programming, comedy and drama, reality shows, things like that?
Well, the Grambling Channel is already launched. It's available right now on our platform. If you download HBCU League Pass Plus, you'll be able to see the Grambling Channel. We had the pleasure of displaying the Grambling spring football game, which largely is an activity that doesn't make the main, but on Gremlin's channel, they decided that they wanted to show their student activity on their channel. And I think there was approximately 5,000 people in attendance, and there was tailgating, and the band was energized, you know, the 200-plus strong on the field. And we had over 200,000 views of that game on HBC League Pass Plus on the Gremlin channel. And so when I sit down with Gremlin University, I take a look back at the library of what I call a content factory and have them decide the content that they have the rights and ownership of, how they want to display it in a way that allows them to monetize it in a very powerful way. So we think about the history of Eddie Robinson. We think about the history of Gremlin since 1901. We think about the history of Gremlin, of where it positions itself in the world and how impactful it's been, both at the sports level and at the humanity level. And I think Dr. Gallo likes to say that Gremlin is one of the only universities on the planet that had a world champion NBA MVP and a Super Bowl MVP coming from the same institution. And that's how strong Gremlin is. But the Gremlin marching band is probably better known than the football team for producing some amazing musicians and impactful engagement. But we think that the student activities, the life, the ability, the harvest, and the library, and frankly some of the long and short form stories that haven't been told, are the hidden jewels of what Gremlin is going to be displaying on their channel. And we think that also exists, bluntly, across 101 institutions that used to be 107. And part of the economic challenge is if they're not going to monetize that content, then it's going to be available to be monetized the way it's been monetized today, Simon, largely by Mr. Zuckerberg on Instagram and on Facebook, or by our friend Sergey on YouTube, or from our Chinese friends on TikTok. And so we want to make this available not on social and monetizable platforms that are owned by others. We want black ownership and equity in it, and we want to be able to contribute back, as we've already done, directly into those campuses and helping them refresh and renew the infrastructure so they can compete for some of the best students and student-athletes. As we think about how schools are being monetized today, we want Gremlin to be in that light, and we frankly are looking forward to others engaging in that reality as well. And I like to say it's the difference between getting sports rights and having a partner that's an equity owner in his or her own channel as the president of that university, and look for really powerful ways to tell their story, feature their students, and deliver value from their mass communication departments and their libraries, and really engage America and frankly the globe in how powerful and impactful HBCUs have been since 1837 in the United States.
Mm-hmm. How ambitious does Gremlin want to be in terms of the kind of program they want to do on this service? Do they want to go beyond, as I mentioned, like BYU TV, they want to go beyond sports? Do they want to do entertainment events? They want to do scripted television, maybe using their students in terms as series creators? What's your sense about what they ultimately want to do?
My sense is the buzzword that I use when we started this relationship. And the buzzword is student activities. There are a plethora of student activities. And that's including students that engage at the scholarship level, students that engage in intramural activities, students that engage in artistic endeavors, students that engage in student life. If you think about a different world, it was in the setting of a fictitious HBCU. The real HBCU, I submit to you, is much more dramatic, engaging, and there's storylines all over the place. So we're not limiting Gremlin University to be segmented around specific activities. And again, we're only interested in sports rights where they're available. My partner and I like to say that we're in the second position. We don't want to interfere with any existing rights that they've sold directly or indirectly through their relationship with the conference, their relationship with ESPN, their relationship with a number of other marketing companies that develop content. But we're very interested in storytelling. And sometimes those stories take place in the playing field. Sometimes those stories take place at the student union. And sometimes they take place at the dormitory, and largely they take place in the library and the annals of these amazing institutions. And so we're very, very much looking to partner with the universities, their alum, and really harvesting and developing that story. The reason why I speak so passionately about that, I have the pleasure of being the group publisher and one of the key executives at Ebony and Jet. When we look at the library, the book of record for the Black America, which John Johnson and his family owned for close to 70-plus years, I think about those 500,000 archived experiences. You know, some of them digitized, others are in the process of being digitized. But we think with the advent of new technology, Adobe Premiere and others, there's a lot of burgeoning filmmakers and storytellers that we think we're going to be able to tell some interesting stories across those decades. And we look forward to developing that. And we look forward, more importantly, Simon, to our advertising partners embracing us the way they embraced ESPN. You know, the story of ESPN, the first deal they got was with Anheuser-Busch. First sports rights they got was the team company softball league, shooting it, as George Bodenheimer said in his book, right from Milwaukee and then broadcasting it out of Connecticut until they were in a position to start acquiring major sports rights. And, again, that $25 million first-year deal with Anheuser-Busch having faith in them, we're hoping that some of these companies are going to start having faith in us the same way, not to mention they raised $25 million from Getty to get started. So we are bootstrapping this. We're very excited about our ability to engage and enjoin this very, very passionate audience that, as I said earlier, is multi-generational, and deliver them in full HD quality across experiences in a way that invites them into the monetization table. That's the most exciting thing about this, is that monetization and that contribution right back into these institutions.
Tom, before we move on, please let the Grambling University people know that whoever is on their end overseeing this project, let them know they were more than welcome to come on this program and talk about what they're doing and where they want and how they see this channel going. Let's move to what you were talking about last week here in New York, which is that you are also, your company is representing a whole bunch of new services. Kevin Frazier, the co-host of Entertainment Tonight, is working on one called Hip Hollywood. There's Black Girls Rock, which is also preparing a channel. There's Soul Vision. There's iWoman TV. Who's out there that you're working with? How soon will they be bringing their channels to viewers?
Yeah, I really ask that all of the listening folk out there in wonderful land of blog world to download our app, because we just signed what I think is going to be one of the more exciting talents out there. And I like to go back to history when Dick Vitale was signed to ESPN. So we just signed a gentleman named Offscript, and he's really innovative in his storytelling and his conversations about what's going on with HBCU sports. He also is sort of the chancellor that invites folk like him that are walking the HBCU beat around sports. And so the idea of the conversation around it, engaging, doing some interesting things, is going to be important. Kevin Frazier has a library of experiences under his brand Hip Hollywood, and he's developing even more around the storytelling of the experiences he's had. The one new brand he's launching today is under the code name Travel Coterie, where it talks about an African-American's experience as they travel in this $50 billion black travel space and engaging and inviting folks into that, whether it's on a cruise or whether it's going to unknown storytelling in the United States, which you can do by car, or fly into some of the most amazing places on the planet. So we think that's important. Stillman University, a lot of folks don't know what Stillman University is, but it's probably the hidden secret of University of Alabama because it's across the street. And it allows a lot of engagement with the University of Alabama African-Americans to partner, and they also can take classes at that university, but it has a great legacy of producing everything except football around an African-American experience at a small private university. And Dr. Warwick is a wonderful, wonderful president down there. And we had her brand featured in NASCAR in Atlanta during Women's History Month. And we find that partnerships with brands, as that brand is an indicator of a welcome mat to the black community. And so we think that HBCU League Pass, Urban Edge Networks, is a platform that allows to monetize brands that are emerging. What we found in our first year of Upfront is a lot of emerging African-American publishers don't have the wherewithal, and nor have they ever been invited to the table beyond diversity, equity, and inclusion, or buying a table or sponsoring an event. So when it comes to time to really not just answer an RFP, but to win some legitimate business and deliver the metrics and deliver, you know, the audience and do the reporting and have the ability to do the marketing and sales, we're very excited about that. We're doing that with Roland Martin, you know, who has a wonderful following on his new Black Star Network, which has been launched a few months back. But he built his brand in mainstream, both linear and on some of the social platforms as well as digital. And now he's realizing he's moving that forward in an important way around a category that our voice is really important in with news. We have Soul Vision TV, which is really focused on the grown and sexy part of the audience. And they're telling stories that are respectful of those audiences and engaging women, men, and older Americans in a engagement of storytelling in long form, because they have a number of movies, and they also were able to invest in a hit Broadway show, which is right on Broadway today. So we think that as we look at a doorfront to what we call the marketing representation, the ability to aggregate the best of our brands and bring them in one-stop shopping to the marketplace is akin to what you just saw recently in the Group M, Group Black mashup, where I think close to $75 million was spent to start that company. They've hired a number of people, and they're in the process of curating African-American publishers and trying to figure out how to make life easy for them. We've been doing that for a year and a half now, and we had a lot of luck last year. And as I said at the Magna Equity, a number of our brands have seen more money from the little teaser that we started with scatter money, directly through Urban Edge Networks from brands than they've seen previously trying to figure out how to become relevant on white on platforms. And so we're looking forward to engaging more brands. We're looking forward to monetizing what I call tier one spots, dots, ability to engage folks, as well as tier two, which is in these 101 communities with some innovative ways of taking these brands for a walk and teaching people that if they do what they do well, we'll handle the back office, we'll handle the business interactions, and we'll be able to deliver value back to our media partners on the advertising side.
And Group Black, incidentally, is also providing venture capital to a number of interesting possible television services, also working with Black Tag, which we've been talking about and covering for the last year and a half. That's the combo Netflix-YouTube venture, the smart TV sets and smart devices for African-American entrepreneurs and for other entrepreneurs of color, I might add, too. Todd, can you stay with us for another 5 or 10 minutes? Because there's two other main topics I'd like to definitely touch base with you on. So can you hang in there for like another 5, 10 minutes with us?
I will. Let me know. Thank you.
Todd Brown from Urban Edge Networks. He will stick with us for some extended time right here in our second half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll get back to him shortly. First, we have some words from the fine folks at our sponsor, Audible.com. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, guess what? The book that started all, that's A Game of Thrones by the great writer George R. R. Martin, who, by the way, is working on a number of TV projects, including the new AMC series Dark Winds, will premiere this summer, which has a Native American production team and crew involved and cast involved. He's also working on the Wild Cards anthology project as well. And, yes, House of the Dragon, which will premiere this summer on HBO. Well, you can get that book right now in audiobook form with a one-month trial to Audible.com. Don't forget, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, and whoever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, 1 month to try the book out, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and important health and wellness information that can make a difference for you or someone you love. Plus, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, two audiobooks will come your way during the trial, one of them from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway and regional theater, great one woman and one man performances, and so much more. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, more with Todd Brown, classic trivia question of the week, and a very special Magical Masters that took place on CBS and Paramount Plus yesterday. All that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Remember, coming up, this is blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com, together reaching over 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And on VTR, tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific, it's The Next Chapter. It's a very unusual program for women and the rest of us, too. The Next Chapter, tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget Best VTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this Monday afternoon. 57 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Sam, I'm with you live from New York and rejoining us live from Austin, Texas, the co-founder and chief executive of Urban Edge Networks, Todd Brown. Todd, you've been part of what Byron Allen has been doing for the last year with his Black-owned media up front. You returned this year, and you had the Magna event this past week. How have those events helped you break open doors to advertisers for the services you want to do and also the services you represent?
Well, it's been really disappointing relative to the amount of spin. And again, I think originally a lot of folk were happy, Simon, to pay us attention. And we are into the paid attention business, but we're into monetizing paid attention. So the fact that they were trying to solve the mystery of who we are, how to talk to us, how to engage with us, and then we also have the problem of how to engage and how to talk to them relative to their seriousness of allocating not just scanner money, but making commitments in advance of, quote-unquote, seeing a record of performance. So if you've been kept out of an opportunity based on metrics, based on history, based on familiarity, and you're breaking into it, there's some groundwork to be done. And so we're banging the door pretty hard. In the second year, based on the trust that we did receive, and we've been very thankful to the advertisers that have partnered with us, both Amazon, General Motors. You know, we had a really great relationship burgeoning with Pizza Hut. You know, we're engaged in a very smart way with Nissan, you know, doing some really smart things there. And we think other folks are now saying to us, at least the words, that we get it. And we want to be part of something special if you can help us reach into these communities, especially if you're delivering value back. And Simon, I'm most famous for saying the best reaction to the fear of Black Lives Matter is an investment in HBCUs. Most majority members can name 3 HBCUs. Most Black people can name 7. There used to be 107. Now there's 101. And what we want to do is make that part of the verbs and nouns when it comes to advertising so they can look to one place or several places and invest in these communities the way that they have monetized Black bodies at white institutions. And so we believe that the conversation is good for the beginning of a dialogue, but the real metric is we need to be at least 13% of that economy. Of today, we're less than 1%. And less than 1% of $322 billion is just shameful, especially when largely Black, brown, and young people are the targets of advertising. We engage the most. We're targeted the most. We actually are even being fake black-faced on a lot of it, but we just aren't participating in the equity opportunities and the ability to develop a full end-to-end relationship with the sweat of our spend. So there's a direct correlation between $1.6 trillion, which is a very large economy, and the impact on the broader economy and the fact that we have been shut out outside of, quote-unquote, participating in a way that we are being monetized, and we're trying to shift that. So we think folks can do better. This year is going to be important. We're hoping that, as Byron likes to say, there's a lot more water in the ocean this year. Some brands have begun, and we'd like to see a lot more of them lean in, and we're doing a better job, I think, of really articulating who we are and why we're important. And I think with this embrace directly at the institutional level with these HBCUs, it's going to make it easy for people to pour into these communities.
Yeah. Before one final category here of questioning, one network I mentioned you didn't get into, but I want to get into it now. What is iWoman TV?
Yeah, iWoman TV is a very smart brand in New York City that's really celebrating women and really empowered by a very strong woman entrepreneur who's hyper-focused on storytelling and engaging from a Black woman's perspective, but engaging all women. And we think that this is one of the missed opportunities where folk are sitting in the publisher space and not able, outside of investing her own money, into building that brand. And so we want it to be a place where women can see themselves and be engaged with it, and they're developing and curating content around that experience. Because we think it's the year of the Black woman. You know, we're seeing her in all kinds of magical places that she has been, frankly, shut out of, and we think that this is a brand that's going to allow people to start leaning in and connecting with those women and engaging in their stories.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question or comment, by the way, for those just joining us at the bottom of the hour, for our guest, Todd Brown, the co-founder and the chief executive of Urban Edge Networks, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anywhere. Catch us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name, C-Max, is in the room. Todd, at Magna's event last week, they made it very clear that what started out as a effort targeting specifically African-American media enterprises, African-American-owned media enterprises, is going to go way beyond now. It's going to focus on Latino-owned media enterprises, Asian-American or Pacific Islander media enterprises, the gay and lesbian, et cetera, community, and maybe Native American. We'll see if, what they say about that. Is there any thought at Urban Edge now about, as much as you're doing for the African-American media community, that given your name is Urban Edge Networks, that there's a role to play for these other groups of color or other communities?
Simon, I'm glad you asked that. So let's be very clear. Black-owned media and everything we're focused on is the fact that blacks are very largely shut out of the media landscape at the 99% level, and that we have legal standing as a result of that. And because of the laws of 1866, which Byron has used to force the conversation around getting distribution, we're also now having that same conversation around the other side of the business model, which is advertising. But we also know that oftentimes, when there's a crime, they describe an African-American man, 5'7", 195 pounds, with very, very descriptive definition of who he or she is. But when it comes to diversity, we like to lean into the notion of benign neglect by Senator Moynihan, which says, let's make everybody special. And generally, when you hear the word minority, they're talking about white women. When you hear about diversity, they're talking about LGBTQ. They're talking about folks in the age category. They're talking about split between what's happening in the Asian community and other places, and even all the way to our BIPOC community. So we want to see everyone do well. But at Urban Edge Networks, we're hyper-focused on the black experience for the lion's share of our brands. But we have the good fortune of partnering with Dr. Ikjen Ahn, who owns a company called Malaco. And as he shared with us, he was one of the principals who wrote the algorithm for the monetization of YouTube. And he now owns his own company, and he's one of the key relationships at a brand that we're representing now called ODK Media. They represent the Asian community in native language speakers. So when you think about ODK Korea, and I think there's 2.3 million Koreans in the United States, 2.1 million of them consume ODK Korea. They also represent ODK Vietnam, ODK China, ODK Latin. And so they're moving very aggressively in that partnership. What they found when it comes to the media landscape, they do very well on programmatic. They do very well on technical ad tech connections, but they've been treated as harshly as the black community has been treated when it comes to frontline relationship with strategic partners, when it comes to upfronts and it comes to allocation across the spectrum of their experience. So we think the Asian space is very important, and through our partnership with ODK, we represent them in our decks. We represent them at the marketplace, and you can buy directly through Urban Edge and reach directly into that partnership. And then they are our partners on the back office, helping us deliver some really smart technology from a programmatic side. But we do think that this conversation, like every movement with the African in America, opens up space for other folks. The African-American vote opened up space for the Asian Chinese vote in the United States, and opened up space for the suffrage issue around women. And we think and most of the laws are being used today to open up America is driven from the civil rights of both 1866 as well as 1964, and it's being used by all disenfranchised communities. And we welcome everyone to the table, but we're very, very doggedly focused on the abuse that we've suffered and the fact that we represent an economy and we deserve to have our own voice and tell our own stories. So that's where we are on it. We're very excited about it. And as Byron likes to say, we like to do this really nice, but we also are acutely aware of where we stand relative to our rights and our ability to express ourselves as a collective around what the opportunity to invite us to the table as good gentlemen should do and women should do to participate and represent our community.
Final question for you, Todd. Is there a TV entrepreneur, a budding TV entrepreneur that you're working with, you haven't talked about yet, that you're very high on, that is, as I said, working on a TV venture of some sort?
Yeah, the most exciting space for me right now is my friend Roland Martin. You know, Roland started on, you know, in black newspapers, you know, as a youth, moved his way up to running and managing a lot of black newspapers, and then came into the mainstream, as you saw him on CNN and TV One. But now he's going to a whole nother level with Black Star Network, where he's now proven himself on monetizable platforms like YouTube and some of the social platforms. And now he's moving that audience very smartly into an ecosystem that allows him to be a more efficient version of what I think Mr. Khan and others tried to do with the Black News Channel. he's doing it very smartly because he understands that he made it in an agile, nimble format, and now he's driving that conversation at the perfect time in the history of America, because there's no voice that tells a long-form conversation about what's happening with black Americans, and so far, we're going to be the swing vote. You know, 2022 is coming up, 2024, and as we engage with Roland on that emerging platform, he's able to be live and cover events where he's the only black-owned media journalist, not black-faced, not black-targeted, not black conversation working for mainstream white media platforms, but black-owned, that's telling our story that's really for us and by us. And I think you're going to see that platform really prove something that I think our friends at Fox prove, that there's a huge business in telling stories from a vantage point and engaging and delivering audience with high journalistic standards, but at the same time, not having any question about who you're serving. So I'm really excited about what he's doing, and I think you're going to see categories of that $1.6 trillion start to identify themselves as lanes for folks to lean into. And so I'm very excited about that. And again, I think women are going to be telling stronger stories about their experience as they move to the forefront in all of American life. But media is really different because you can fake media. You can buy BET and say you're black, targeted, and capture a ton of dollars. But when we talk about being able to tell your story the way that you want to tell it and deliver it in a powerful way and get those returns that advertisers want to see with the metrics, I think this is a new day for that, and we're looking to lean on new technology, innovative back office ad tech, and ability to really super serve these audiences across their experiences. So I'm very excited to be here and excited about what's coming next.
Yeah. Since you mentioned Black News Channel, which, by the way, we covered from the get-go, we had the founder of the network on our show 4 years ago, 2 years before it actually happened. And by the way, if Black News Channel had not gone bankrupt a few weeks ago, they would have been at Magna's event last week. They had a presentation. But last year, we covered Central City Broadcasting, which is based in Indianapolis, and the owner there wants to launch a multicultural news channel, which he already has clearance from Charter Communications with Top Cable. Are you working with him at that organization or Group Black working with him to try to get that off the ground?
No, I'm not, but I'm open to it because I think one of the struggles, Simon, to be blunt with you, is that the business model is very clear. Either you're going to have subscribers that are leaning in and paying you, whether it's directly to you or through the cable partners, or you're going to be an advertiser. And advertising and delivery on these new formats, there's some math to that business, Simon. If you have a giant head from expense and delivery and trying to be all things to all people, you better have the advertising to match it. You better have access to the ability to have those rights and clearances and deliver the value in a way that adds up. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself running out of money, especially in the media landscape where it's not unheard of to receive the money, cash flow, from running media sometimes 6 months late. One of the reasons we ended up, you know, in bankruptcy at Ebony and Jet and at the Griot is that we couldn't hold on to receive the capital from working and delivering media. So the pay scale, the pay time frame is really late. I mean, best case, it's going to be 90 days. And so if you have a cost structure where people have to get paid every 2 weeks, that to deliver value, you better raise capital, which hasn't been friendly to black media. And I think with the Black News Channel and the math around it, you know, it's predictable what happened there. However, it is a game that I think the industry has to shift from how they pay emerging companies, and they have to shift from the ability to make sure that we're rewarding the right behavior. We're rewarding the ability to deliver value consistently, and we're playing the game in accordance with the rules, but we also are flexible enough to invite emerging companies in without having them swallow such a huge pain point around the cost of delivery. But we got to be smart, too, as we deliver it.
Again, the name of the company is Urban Edge Networks. Right now, they are doing HBCU League Pass and the Grambling Channel. They're on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, in some cases multi-channel bundles, and many, many more services on the way. If you want more details about the venture, go to UrbanEdgeNetworks.com. It's UrbanEdgeNetworks.com. And if people want to know online more about League Pass, where do they go? What website should they go to, Todd?
Well, the website they should go to is two things that I want to correct that you said. So the way to reach us is HBCU League Pass Plus.com, and they should download our app, HBCU League Pass Plus, in all of the appropriate places that you can download and connect with media, from Roku to Android to iOS, to the smart streaming platforms. And the best way to engage with us is through those platforms. So we look forward to the next steps. We have some really, really smart partners. We're emerging, and we have today active HBC League Pass Plus. We have the Grambling Channel. We have the Stillman Channel. We have Hip Hollywood, as you mentioned. We have Travel Coterie, you know, and we're emerging in the space around Offscript and what he's doing with his podcast and his conversation he's having around the commentary of what's happening at HBCUs. So more to come, like you said. We hope to be very, very, very invested with as many HBCUs that are ready to enter the media business around their activities, and we think it's an exciting time in the history of the world to be us.
Todd, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far with Urban Edge, and there's much, much more to come. And please let all of the companies you work with know that they are welcome to have their key people on, whether it's the head of the Grambling Channel, Kevin Frazier at Entertainment Tonight, the folks at iWoman TV. So we'd love to have them on the program, talk about their content. And, yes, Byron, we want to have you on at some point, so please do. And Vinny Stanley, we are talking to Roland Martin. He's been on our show before. And we are making contact with Group Black as well to have them on a future episode. So, Todd, please spread the word. We'd love to have them on. And we'd love to have you back on as well. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I enjoyed your time. Thank you, Simon, and allowing us to tell our story. We think it's a very important moment, and we think it's going to be defined by those folks that are nimble, agile, and engage with the infrastructure on delivering value into the CMOs. And that's the business that we want to be in.
Absolutely, Todd, and thank you for your role in making it happen. It's been a great pleasure having you on. Let's do it again soon. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye, ciao.
Todd Brown, the co-founder and chief executive of Urban Edge Networks, joining us live from Austin, Texas. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. Second week, we're offering the question. Final week, too. And if you're first with the correct answer, we got three prizes in play for you. We have the 20th anniversary Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir DVD. That's the PBS BYU TV special that came out last December. Bonus material on the DVD. We have the new Nailed In cookbook from Netflix with baking challenges for the rest of us. Great for the whole family. And the Nickelodeon Blues Clues 25th anniversary notepad courtesy, yes, of Nickelodeon. And they're all yours if you know the answer to this question. And you're first by email with that answer. Here's the question. What 1970s television series featured two Academy Award-winning actors playing the same role? What 1970s TV series featured two Academy Award-winning actors playing the same role? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to include your name and your mailing address. First of all, the answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum. And Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Once again, the question, what 1970s television series featured two Academy Award-winning actors playing the same role? SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's your email to go for the win. So do so today. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Make it happen, and all the very best. And now, a closing comment. The coming of spring has really brought on a lot of wonderful sports in the last few weeks. Two marvelous March Madness events, the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament, both with marvelous storylines. In the case of the men's basketball tournament, a game for the ages, the national semifinal, and the final four between North Carolina and Duke, nip and tuck all the way. Everybody contributed to a fantastic game, from coaches to players. And on the women's side, the breathtaking work of South Carolina and their coach, Dawn Staley. Just a magnificent story and some other great stories in that. And then we've had the coming of baseball this weekend. And here in New York, everybody's excited about both the Mets and the Yankees. They're starting off great. Yankees 2 out of 3 in their opening series against the dreaded Boston Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. And the Mets, so far, so good. Winning already, and hopefully they'll keep winning more by the time they get to Citi Field later this week for their home opener. And nothing but nothing really made spring fly than what happened yesterday with the Masters Golf Tournament. It was really special, beyond special. Now, let me be clear. I am not a fan of the Augusta National Golf Club, not the people that run the Masters. They are maybe, in my mind, the worst sports organization in the United States, and not too far behind both the International Olympic Committee and the FIFA folks behind the World Cup. The Augusta National Golf Club people come off as backward. They are very, very feeble-minded. or thin-skinned. They still have never given an apology to Jack Whitaker for forcing him off the air because of the mob comment he made, which actually was correct. I saw it personally when it happened live. He was absolutely right to do it. They never forgave him or apologized to him, which they should have, not even a few years after his passing. And Gary McCord is still off the air during the Masters because of the bikini wax comment. They're just really thin-skinned. Nevertheless, they're responsible for one of the great golf tournaments around. And Sunday at that beautiful course was a day to remember. There were three great storylines. There was Tiger Woods, made the cut after our program on Friday, and he is one of the great miracle stories in recent sports history, if not all sports history. For him to walk that course all 4 days, and yes, the bottom fell out for his rounds Saturday and Sunday, but to be in that course, to be with those players, to be competitive again for the first time in 14 months since an auto accident that could have cost him not just his leg but his life is beyond miraculous. And the ovation that he got at both the 16th hole and the 18th hole yesterday, magical television. Vern Lundquist and Jim Nance at 16th and 18th respectively set up beautifully and just let the moment play, and it was a sight to behold. That was, I think, the big story of the Masters yesterday. The second big story, the person who won, Scottie Scheffler. He is the hottest golfer right now. This is the third tournament he's won over the last 2 months. He played against Smith, who won two, including the Players' Championship over the last 2 months. And while Smith had the bottom fall out, particularly in that 12th hole, the middle of Amen Corner, it does in many a golfer, as Smith had with the triple bogey. Scheffler made a big, big par putt. It could have broken him, but it didn't, and he went on to win by three strokes. Great Masters Championship from start to finish. Scheffler is the highest golfer right now, and he showed it, particularly under pressure, the last 2 days. And finally, the comeback story maybe of sports this year, Rory McIlroy, who has not had a great time on the golf course of late, but yesterday was a sight to believe. He had a 64. He ended up three shots back, 7 under, and then he and his playing partner, both from sand traps, tough shots for birdie, made birdie back-to-back on the 18th hole. Unbelievable. Itself an incredible moment. Rory is back, folks, and I think we will hear more from him before this golf year is out. All told, it was one amazing Sunday. CBS deserves great credit for how it covers the Masters, despite the restrictions that it gets from the Augusta National Golf Club. They do a fantastic job. The drone cameras are marvelous. That club, again, you hate the management, you love how they treat that club. It is an incredible golf club. And on a beautiful day like it was yesterday, it is a splendid home for a sports event. I hope you had a chance to see it live on CBS and Paramount Plus yesterday. It's going to be hard to top that day. It's going to be hard to top what happened yesterday. And for all the Tiger Woods fans, I think it gave them hope that Tiger is back. And we'll see how competitive he is from here. And you get a sense that he's got a new lease on life, a new lease on golf, and a new lease on how he deals with people. And it all showed the past 4 days, but especially yesterday at the Augusta National Golf Club in Augusta, Georgia. Before we go, I want to say again, thank you to Todd Brown for coming on from Urban Edge Networks. We, again, would like to offer the folks behind the Grambling Channel, the folks behind iWomen TV, Kevin Frazier from Entertainment Tonight is Hip Hollywood, Soul Vision, other companies that work on African-American-owned TV ventures to come on the program. As I said, we are in touch with Roland Martin. We're trying to get him on in the next couple of weeks. We are getting in touch with Group Black, which also had a very exciting presentation last week at this Magna Equity Upfront event, which ran 3 days. And Byron Allen, the invitation is open. We'll do a full hour with you. So come on down. We'd love to have you. And I think we want people to know the full scope of what you're doing, because what you're doing is really, really amazing, not just for the African-American community, but for all viewers of every stripe. So we'll keep you posted about how it's doing. Usually we would tell you who's going to be on the show next and when our next episode is, Right now, we're working on a couple of guest possibilities for either an episode Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now, or Thursday. We will not be on Good Friday because it's Good Friday and Passover, so we will not be on Friday. But we will be on Thursday for sure. And whether or not we're on Wednesday, we'll keep you posted. So stay tuned to our Facebook and Twitter feeds for all details. One more time, our classic trivia question. What 1970s television series had two Academy Award-winning actors play the same role? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter, Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. Again, thank all of you for tuning in today. And we want to remind you that if you miss the program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we've had some good ones lately, go to our homepage anytime you like. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And anytime you like, check out our programs on podcast. We have more podcast affiliates happening. We've had Spotify come on 3 weeks ago today. We're also on Amazon Music, which, by the way, just started a few weeks ago on Verbal, on Vizio Smart TV sets. We're on Verbal, we're on Reason, we're on Apple Podcasts, and we're on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Plus, TuneIn.com and Spreaker Podcast as well. We love hearing from you. What did you think about our program today and what Todd Brown had to say about what he's doing with Urban Edge Networks? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We'd love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, you can also use that to be in the classic trivia question segment. And our regular feature is Show to Know. TV show you like doesn't get enough attention. Use that website, that email, let us know. And if we use suggestion on the air, you get the credit. You can also check me out on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And I do respond to what you have to say within 24 hours. That's our promise to you because, as always, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Taylor is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Dave Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the Ernest New Podcast Outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitars Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow we televised brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audio book or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, it makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. We'll be back either Wednesday and or Thursday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and you know where, Blog Talk Radio, speaker to the radio, plus all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing between now and our next program, as always, please make it safe and make it great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check in with your doctor. Find out about your medical situation. Find out about all the alternative treatments available to you, including the new pills from Pfizer and Merck. And then, whatever you decide to do, make it a great choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.